You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, we wanted to let you know about a free resource that we're offering, an e-booklet by Todd Adkins called Developing Your Leadership Pipeline. This booklet will help you and your church leadership team begin to formulate a leadership pipeline from concept to structure to training in your own church. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, and you can download it there. Now, here's the podcast. Enjoy. Hey, welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I almost forgot the name of the podcast that we have done like 100 episodes for. That's strong hosting. That's by bad. Me, who is Barnabas Piper, my regular co-host Todd Adkins.
Why?
Oh, I meant
why?
I was trying to make him feel better. He forgot. I was trying to forget what my tag intro
and,
was.
And then we have here with us Eric Geiger, a regular.
Word to your moms.
And it's a good thing that I am not overly insecure, because otherwise I'd be super embarrassed that I just forgot the name of this podcast.
You would edit that out.
I would edit that out.
But you're very secure with yourself.
Which means that you, listener, will hear my stumble at the very beginning.
All of it.
Speaking of insecurity, that is our topic for the day. We are talking about leaders and insecurity. So if you're an insecure person, you'll likely turn this off because you'll be very uncomfortable that we're talking about you. If you think you're a secure leader, keep listening and you'll find out that you're not. Let's just hit our first question, and that is it normal for leaders to feel insecure? Why or why not?
Yes, it is. It is normal because it is natural to feel insecure. To not feel insecure would be, it's supernatural. The only way I don't feel insecure is if, by God's grace, I'm supernaturally trusting in Him and resting in Him. In my natural state, normal, apart from the grace of God, I am going to be plagued with insecurity. It's only going to be the grace of God that causes me not to be, to feel insecure. And so a leader is constantly making decisions, constantly influencing people, constantly reminding people of a direction. So a leader is, he or she is throwing himself or herself out there in front of people all of the time. And so there's reason to feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, I mean, you are placing bets. What I mean by bets is you're putting resources towards a direction or people towards a direction. You are leveraging activity and people's time towards accomplishing something. And so, gosh, you are putting yourself out there. Of course you're going to feel insecure.
And you're a bit of a figurehead too. So if things go sideways, yeah. it's all on you. You're putting yourself up front to take the shots.
There's a tremendous spotlight that is put upon you in that position. And, you know, so that is naturally going to draw out insecurity.
It's natural.
It will squeeze it out of you. It is definitely natural.
So I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's healthy. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, hey, go be insecure. It's awesome. I'm saying that it is normal and natural.
Just acknowledge that you're not a weirdo for being insecure.
No, but acknowledge that. But also say, I don't want to live in the natural. You know, I don't want to be insecure, because I want to, by God's grace, embrace the reality that I'm approved by Him and that I don't have to live with insecurity.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast recently, and it was an interview with I don't remember who. It's a really prominent actor, has had tons of success in the last few years, you know, nominated for Oscars and whatever else. And they were talking about the imposter syndrome, and the actor was just saying every time they get called for a role, they wonder, when are they going to realize that I'm not that good?
Yeah.
and I felt like
every leader feels like
that. And I was going to say, I think every leader, so from the outside there's the appearance of confidence and success, but inside they're going, when are they going to realize I really don't know what I'm doing?
I'm a sham.
Yeah, I am placing bets. I'm not saying with 100% surety, this is the thing that will work.
Right. Very true.
So insecurity, normal for leaders. I think it's also worth pointing out. This is not sort of built into the question, so I wanted to mention it, is that insecurity comes out in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. It exhibits itself in a tremendous amount. I mean, it can just as easily come out as bravado.
Yes.
And people overcompensate.
Oh, gosh.
In fact, when I see
I think it often comes out that
when
way.
When I see bravado, I assume insecurity at this point.
Just because you've seen it so much?
Yeah, I just kind of assume that that person is kind of, yeah, I'm cynical. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you're jaded and cynical. So if anyone displays any type of confidence at all, confident, you're like, fake, insecurity.
Fake. Which is probably, cynicism is my way of yes. being insecure. It's a self-protective measure. But, I mean, it can be indecisiveness or it can be over-decisiveness.
Right.
I mean, it kind of, whichever way people are sort of hiding behind something, yep. it can go either way. All right, so second question, what is the difference between humility and insecurity? Because both of them, in some sense, are—
they can look the same way on the outside.
Right, they can look the same way on the outside, and both of them, in some sense, are not thinking very much of yourself.
Yeah, C.S. Lewis, a famous quote, I love it, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less.
Yes.
And so real humility isn't destroying yourself.
Not tearing yourself down, yeah.
It's not that. It's actually thinking less, thinking of yourself less, not thinking less of yourself. So insecurity to me is a lack of confidence. It's paranoia. It's living with, I always have to earn this. I always have to strive. I have to earn who I am tomorrow. That's insecurity. Humility is different. Humility. You're confident, but you're confident in God, who's made you who you are and who has declared you to be His. You're not paranoid because you're trusting Him and you're resting in your approval. And your approval is in Christ, not because of your good deeds, but because of what He's done for you on the cross. So humility and insecurity, they're very, very, very different, and they're internal. You know, insecurity and humility both are really internal. You don't really know if you're— no, I can't look at you on the outside often and tell if you're humble or not, you know.
Right.
And surely,
you can tell when you're not humble.
Pride stinks. I mean, pride stinks. But I mean, the moment that someone says, you know, I don't struggle at all with pride. I think I'm a really humble person. You know, that doesn't go well either.
I think it's that quote that you started off with is really interesting because I think. If you're trying to self-evaluate whether or not you are insecure, how much do you think about yourself?
Yes.
So what do people think of me? What will they think
that's
of
good.
Me? How successful am I? Like, that is insecurity in a nutshell.
It is. Because it comes back to, all of this comes back to sin nature. All of it comes back to our security in Christ. And whether we're talking about the two big things, you know, pride and insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can seem like you are manic bipolar because one minute you go to the extreme on this side,
yes.
one minute you go to the extreme on that side. And that is what will happen because that is our nature coming out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's that bravado usually is accompanied by some sort of manic swing the other way.
Exactly.
Because you put on your best face and get the world by the tail and wrap it around and then— I can't help but quote Chris Farley in those moments because it's just like that the classic moment of bravado. And then it's that scene from Tommy Boy when all of a sudden he just like starts ripping the roll apart and he's like, oh, I killed it. That is insecurity because you have the manic bravado and I'm a total failure.
He was so great.
He was also an insecure, manic person.
He was.
If you want to read an amazing book, read The Chris Farley Show. It's an oral history of his life and it is amazing and incredibly sad and depressing, but really good.
To me, one of the sad things, if I'm remembering correctly, didn't he die of a drug overdose at 33?
Yep.
Was it 33? 33. 33. And his hero, John Belushi,
yep.
died of a drug overdose at 33?
At 33, exactly.
It's terrifying that basically, not the subject of the podcast today, but who we focus our attention on, we become like that person.
Well, if you want to talk about an extreme pitfall of insecurity, that's about as extreme as it gets. Mm-hmm. So let's hit our third question, and that is, at what point does insecurity become harmful for leaders? So everybody struggles with insecurity, but it clearly does not bring every leader to their knees. So at what point is it harmful?
Well, I mean, at the very base of leadership is stewardship. Mm-hmm. And at that, it's your decisions. When insecurity starts to affect your decision-making as a leader, it's become harmful.
So meaning like when it becomes a self, you're making decisions to be self-protective as opposed to on behalf of others.
Self-protective or how is this going to look if I do this or say
not,
this
not because
or
of what's right, not because of what's best for the team I'm leading. So I'd say it's always harmful. just like a lack of joy is always harmful, or a lack of loving my team is always harmful. It has compounding harmful effects the longer that it resides, and the longer that it goes unchecked, and the longer that a leader doesn't repent of it. But it's always going to be harmful. Even think about what opportunities are missed when we live in insecurity and not in the confidence that we are His. You know, so there's even if it doesn't manifest itself in these deviant behaviors or mistreatment of people or bravado that is self-centered. Even if it doesn't manifest itself in those ways, insecurity can manifest itself in the missed opportunities because you're afraid to go out there and
you won't take a risk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it's also really harmful when they're not aware of it. You know, so a leader who will not acknowledge their own insecurity to themselves and or to others, but especially to themselves, then it's shaping them in ways they can't even control.
Crouching at your door.
Right.
And I think we got to realize
once you're His, once you belong to Christ, one of the key ways He comes after you is insecurity.
He say not He Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we have to acknowledge that I've got a proclivity towards insecurity.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you hunt it out. You have to look for all the ways it's coming out and how are you like if you face criticism, insecurity will make you very defensive. If you fail,
power, sex,
which you will,
money, or pride.
Yeah,
that's how it comes out. One of those four.
So this isn't going to be something that you've mastered. It's going to be something that's going to constantly be there. Just because same way with sin, right? We're going to struggle. We're going to struggle with this issue.
We all have made the connection between insecurity and pride a few times, and so it is something that those two are hand in hand. Insecurity is an expression of pride. Pride is not something that we will ever master. It's just a constant seeking to draw closer to Christ and further from self-love, because insecurity is both self-loathing and self-love kind of at the same time. It's that weird combination of the two. So I think it is, it's just going to be a perpetual overcoming. So our fourth question.
Fifth?
No, we're on four.
We're on four?
Yeah.
Todd, you're so insecure you can't even count. And that was really insecure of me to criticize him. Criticize you.
That's right. Way to one-up him.
It shows how insecure I am.
Do you feel better about yourself?
No, now I feel really bad. I actually
now you're insecure about your insecurity.
Now my insecurity is compounding. Now I'm going to make a really poor decision. Now I'm going to try to make an answer. Now I'm going to answer something to sound really, really spiritual to overcome my lack of security.
This is the inception of insecurity.
Right.
All right. What are ways leaders try to compensate for insecurity in unhealthy ways?
It's so sad that I wrote down, I literally, on this bullet point, I have beat down others.
Awesome. You'd think this was scripted, but it's not.
Oh my goodness, that is terrifying.
There it is.
Todd, you know I love you. I wasn't trying to beat you down.
Actually, that doesn't say beat down others. It says beat down Todd Adkins.
Oh, that's right. But really, the reality oftentimes, and you were mentioning it earlier with the bravado, I do think insecurity can come out when a leader wants to tear down others so that he or she feels better about himself or herself.
To elevate themselves.
Yeah. It's a defense mechanism.
Totally.
Well, I think defense mechanisms are, there's a lot of them. We were laughing earlier about cynicism and criticism and bravado and all of it. Self-deprecation is one where people are almost too self-deprecating, because as a leader, you can't be too self-deprecating. You have to at some point you have to take a stand and say, I do have some confidence in my ability to do things. So if you're constantly just sort of like, oh, I'm so dumb.
Or self-deprecating, trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And pointing out some of the things that you're insecure about, acting like you're not insecure about them.
Yeah. And that's an interesting sort of teeter-totter, because on the one hand, if you're self-deprecating, you're saying these are the things I'm bad at, but then the next minute you're saying, you're saying I'm the leader, I have a lot of confidence, let's make this decision this way. It sounds bipolar, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And it comes out, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Any other ways that come to mind of sort of handling insecurity? I think just hiding it. Just pretending that it doesn't exist is one. You know, leaders who just kind of push self introspection to the side altogether. And so they're not it's probably very obvious that it's there, but they're not dealing with it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it comes out in the form of success and whatever success means to you or to your generation. So success maybe for our parents was a red sports car. Success for another
generation. My dad had a gold fastback Mustang.
Really?
Yeah, right before he.
John Piper?
Yeah.
Had a Mustang?
And then he sold it and went and got a doctorate in Germany. and hasn't bought a new car since.
Wow. That would now that makes sense.
Anyway, you were
that
talking
aligns
about
with the
yes,
story.
Yeah.
You were
talking about red sports cars and success.
Well, no, I'm saying to a younger generation, it might be it might be social notoriety or you know whatever it is. I think that it can mask itself differently for different generations and different people. So it may be a position. Or it may be that I got into this concert.
Yeah.
It may be, I mean, in D.C., man, people, there were a lot of younger people that didn't make a ton of money, but it was the proximity to power.
Yes. Yeah.
It was
the name dropping ability.
I went to the correspondence dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was that kind of a thing.
Well, I think that, you know, any way you are expressing things or putting yourself forward to try to either fill up a void in your own life or fill up the perception of others, that is an unhealthy way. So yeah, the name dropping, the whatever it is, I think all of those things. So then the fifth question is the flip side of that coin is how can leaders overcome insecurity in healthy ways?
It goes back to the first answer.
I just expected you to say Jesus.
And I was going to say, that's what
Mary
I wrote
well.
Down. You have to, no, you really do have to see. You have to see Christ and see what he's declared you to be, who he's declared you to be. Be a follower first, not a leader first. And be joyful that you are his, because then the struggles that would cause you to be insecure, they really pale in comparison to that. They do.
I think that identity in Christ piece, especially for personal insecurity. I mean, it's one thing to feel insecure if you get promoted to a role and you feel a little bit overwhelmed.
Right.
But just the personal insecurity of trying to fill up that void in your life or fill up others' perception, that is resolved by identity in Christ, because all of those other things begin to just sort of, you just can shrug them off after a while. You know, oh, that person can drop 25 names of powerful people and I only have two. That's okay. I know who I am. You know, I know what God made me to be. And that's, those things become, you're neither overly impressed with others for the wrong reasons or underly impressed with yourself for the wrong reasons.
Well, I would say one of the biggest struggles that I see people have, and I think today and are going to maybe increasingly have, is opening yourself completely and totally up to another person for accountability, feedback. I know accountability gets thrown out as the answer to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And in this sense, I'm not necessarily talking about accountability in the traditional sense. I'm talking about a true, deep relationship, friendship, where a person who, when you are prideful, is going to let you know it in a nice way. And when you think that you are garbage, can
gum
remind
on a shoe.
You that you're no, you have these, you know, I see this in you, and this is what, you know, God might be doing in this situation or whatever. Just a person that is a strong keel for you that can, you know, a keel is goes right down the middle of a ship and it has a heavy weight, and it's meant to, when the storm comes or the wind blows, whether it blows to the direction of pride or insecurity, whether it blows one way or the other way, it helps right the ship.
Yeah.
And we all need people in our lives to right that ship. Hopefully you're married to them.
Yeah, I think the thing to remember, or a significant thing to remember, is that insecurity is a lie. I mean, you mentioned this earlier. It is a way that the devil tries to bring down believers, because it's a whispering of either you're not good enough or aren't you better than them? You know, sort of a, both of those are insecurity.
And do you remember what you did?
Yeah. And so, exactly. So
you're going to get up here and say that? Do you remember what you did?
Yeah. How dare you? What right do you have to do these things? And so it is being able to just draw that clear delineation between what is a lie and what is truth. And in order to do that, you have to know what Scripture says, what God says, what is those kinds of things. And so there's not a lot of place for self-help books in all of this. And you know, there's that to me is one of the things that we didn't hit this in number four, but a lot of leaders go to sort of the pop psychology, self-help kinds of the mantra types of things to make them, you know, to overcome insecurity. And I think that those might work for a while, but there's just a hollowness over time because they still do not overcome the inherent lies that we are believing and truth that we're lacking.
Very true. I wish I could remember the Tozer quote, but it's basically if you give a man a Bible and a pencil every day, he basically stays in the right frame of mind about himself.
That's good.
It's amazing how simple those things are.
That's right.
You want to outgrow read your Bible every day. There's just no outgrowing it.
That's right.
And
that's
the longer you go on, the more you realize that's it. Really, like that's really good. What it boils down to. All right, listeners. Well, we hope that was helpful to you. We hope we didn't poke the nerve of your insecurity too much. But before we sign off, I did want to remind you of the conference that we have coming up this fall, October 13th and 14th here in Nashville. It's the Pipeline Conference. We want you to bring
the Pipeline Unconference.
Pipeline Unconference. Yes, sorry. If you're a regular listener, you'll get the reference. If not, you need to become a regular listener and go back listen to back episodes. So go to myleadershippipeline.com. You can see the lineup of speakers of whom...
Of the unspeakers.
Yeah. No, they're speakers. Oh. They're speaking. Eric will be speaking. Todd and I will be hosting and doing some of this five question stuff on stage to help facilitate discussion about it. The idea is to help your church staff learn and implement how to do leadership pipeline, how to do leadership development in a more healthy way. The first day is plenary sessions and TED Talks. The second day is a much smaller number, and that's already filling up rapidly. It's about half full at this point.
That's crazy. You're coming. You're going to get signed up.
Signed up for day two.
On day two.
And that's a coaching day. So you come with a team and we will walk you through the process over the course of a day so that you go back home with a game plan. So myleadershippipeline.com. We have group rates, we have early bird rates, so some sweet discounts for you. Go check that out. Thanks so much for listening and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we wanted to remind you about the free e-booklet, Developing Your Leadership Pipeline, that will help your church get started training leaders more effectively. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab where you can download the e-booklet for free.